This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Happy Friday.
And this Friday, we've had interesting data, Empire State Manufacturing and others. How have markets reacted?
Yeah, it was a round of data this whole week. I mean, we just saw so much stuff, everything from inflation data, to jobs data, to some economic reads. And that leaves us off today with Friday being a lot of economic reads, but some interesting stuff here. We saw the Empire State Manufacturing Index came out, a surprise to the downside there, which has been a theme across a lot of sentiment reads and economic reads. So we saw a forecast of -7. We saw the actual number came out as -20.9. But it gets more concerning when we talk about the big one for today. And one of my favorite economic indicators, which is the Consumer Sentiment Survey from the University of Michigan. We got the preliminary numbers here today, and it disappointed. And so we were forecasting 77.1 on the index. We got 76.9. And the reason that matters here is that the consumer, we live in a consumer-based economy here in the United States, as we do in many other countries in the Western world. It's a consumer-based economy. So the middle class and the ability of the consumer to really stand toe-to-toe with the rest of them is very, very important to economic health. If consumers are doing well, they're out there spending, they're out there getting loans, they're borrowing money, they're spending money, they're stimulating the economy. That involvement from consumers and their outlook forward looking is very important. It's one of my favorite indicators because similar to the PMI, which is of the Purchasing Managers Index, the consumer sentiment allows us to get the consensus of the consumer. How are you feeling now and how are you feeling looking forward? So to see this number hit a fresh 3-month low is concerning. And not only that, we tie that in, Johnny, to what we saw the rest of this week. We saw hot inflation reads. We saw both the producer price index as well as the consumer price index showing hot reads this week. You tie that in with retail sales, which also was disappointing. I think we're seeing at this point a consistent theme. This is not something that is, you know, an anomaly one number. We are generally seeing from what we talk about on these podcasts, we're seeing slowdown in the US economy and we're seeing stubborn inflation still taking its toll. And you can see that when we take a look at the market here this week. If you are somebody who watches commodities, gold is holding its gains despite these hot dollar reads, right? The high inflation, et cetera. You would expect, well, maybe gold's going to give back some gains. Not so fast because that economic print is still showing some slowdown. Then you take a look at the indices. I'm looking at the NASDAQ. I'm looking at the S&P 500. These things are down on the day, and it seems very rare to even get red weeks these days with the indices, but we're seeing some challenge to the index kind of domination that has been, you know, the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Nikkei, the FTSE. All of these things have just been running hot. We're seeing a little pushback on that with consumers now looking a little bit under pressure here today. So definitely a very interesting week. We had a lot of data come out this week. It was a really big one. And that sets us up well for next week, Johnny.
Interesting though, with the slowdown that you mentioned that we're seeing more or less across the board, we're still not seeing certainty about when and how much those interest rate cuts, when they come, are going to be. There's still a difference of opinion amongst analysts and economists. There is a danger, of course, that they might leave it too late on both sides of the Atlantic, and we could go into a recession if rates are too high.
Yes, and that's the whole kind of, you outlined the big problematic thing in the market right now is, you know, rate cuts are now, they're coming, right? They're going to, if we continue to see these economic slowdown points roll in, yeah, we're probably going to see rate cuts this year. That is the consensus. And I think that that's probably right. Now, what gets interesting is what you kind of were highlighting there. Are we going to see those rate cuts coming in because the economy's starting to slide, which is a not so pretty scenario? Or is it interest rate cuts because inflation's coming down? Cool. When we turned the year, everybody was pretty optimistic about the idea that interest rates are going to get cut because inflation's going to cool and the economy is going to continue to chug along. What's not so exciting is that the inflation problem is not totally beaten. And at the same time, we see the economy starting to slide just a bit.
So let's talk about next week now. We've got a big Fed meeting on Wednesday. Would that be the highlight for you? What else is happening?
Yeah, next week is really big because this week I feel like we got a big round of data. Next week, we get to hear from the people who make decisions based on that data, right? You've got the Fed on Wednesday. On Thursday, we do have the Swiss National Bank as well. Following that, we have the UK, their bank rate votes, which will be interesting, and a monetary policy summary as well. That's a big event for the UK. Of course, for traders who are watching the pound, or watching the UK stock market, that will be a really big event. And then, so I find that that will be the big concept next week, is hearing from the central banks, hearing from the people who then make decisions based on all these numbers. And I think that, maybe part of the skittishness that we're seeing, a little bit of uptick in the dollar, a little bit of sell-off in the stock indices right now, is people a little worried that the Fed, what are they going to say? Are they going to now kind of address that the economy, is showing signs of slowing in the U.S., as you mentioned, alongside other places? Is that going to be the theme of what they start talking more about? Because, now, Johnny, we think about what they've been saying. We want to see inflation heading down to 2%. But if that trend has really slowed, are they going to just say, and this is the big thing I'll be looking for personally, are they going to say, yeah, we need to push back interest rate cut expectations? Are they going to push back on that theory? Or are they going to point to the other side and say, well, we saw an uptick in unemployment. We saw some problems in other areas of the economy. We're seeing some slowdown. That's the big question. What are they going to focus on? Are they going to focus on the economic prints that have been lackluster? Or are they going to focus on inflation still not beaten? We're keeping these interest rates where they're at. And I think the market might be getting a little skittish. Why the dollar's up, stock market down, is I think they might still stay strong and say, from the beginning, they've been okay with seeing the economy slow down to a degree. What they're really insistent on is getting that inflation in the right direction. So I think next week will be huge.
Finally, Nick, we talked about Bitcoin reaching new highs, but it's off its record high now and come down a bit. Is that a bit of, what we used to call profit taking?
Yeah. And I wonder if that's what that is, or, with all of this conversation that we've been having, the dollar strength resurged a little bit right around the same time that Bitcoin gave back some of its gains here. I think that 70,000 mark was a psychological level. I wouldn't be surprised if Bitcoin profit taking, if that's what it is, it persists for a bit of time. And there is something else there, Johnny, that I think is really interesting. We've talked a lot and we've covered from the beginning of talking about the Bitcoin ETFs that hit the market, things like the iShares Bitcoin Trust and this accessibility. I do also wonder if the mass quantities of Bitcoin that will be owned by these funds that are holding Bitcoin through their ETFs, right, for their investors, if it's so accessible to buy it, is there also the easy accessibility to sell it? And because these trusts and holders of the Bitcoin hold such large quantities, I do also wonder if sell-offs can be very violent too, just like we've seen a violent upside. Has volatility expanded for Bitcoin? And I think that that is really an interesting point to consider. For me, I'm a little skeptical as we get up to these levels. We've seen this story play out for several times now, not just, in Bitcoin land. There's also been penny stock land and many very, very high risk, high reward areas. And when markets like this start to really slow down, that slowdown can come with huge sell-offs. So I'd be very careful up in these areas personally. I'll see if we can get back above that 70,000 level. But for now, bulls giving that back or bears taking it over, however you'd like to look at it. I think short-term Bitcoin is looking a little concerning up at these levels.
Okay, Nick, thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. See you next time.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.